Hey, everybody. Today I'm bringing two of my favorite authors to you, Adrian Gostig and Chester Elton. They are setting the business world on fire with the subject of gratitude. You'll be surprised at the science that's behind how gratitude, which is free, it's available to everybody, it makes life worth living, but it increases your health, it increases your wealth, it increases your productivity. I can't wait for you to hear this interview. Welcome to Next Level Healing. I'm your host, Dr. Tara Perry. For 25 years, I've helped professionals, first responders, celebrities, Olympians, teachers, moms, dads, and people just like you achieve their results better and faster than they thought possible. This is where measurable modern science meets the quantum. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Next Level Healing. I am over the moon excited with my guest today. They are going to share with you tips and tricks for absolutely the most no-brainer thing to implement in your life. This is Adrian Gostig and Chester Elton. They are translated into over 30 languages around the world and have sold over 1.5 million books. Their books include New York Times and Wall Street Journal's bestsellers, The Carrot Principle, Leading with Gratitude, and All In. Adrian has been on the Today Show. He's been quoted in The Economist, The Financial Times, Harvard Business Review, Wall Street Journal, and Fortune. He is a leadership strategy contributor to Forbes. Chester's been ranked in the top 10 global gurus in leadership. He is a sought-after lecturer around the world and is ranked the number 2 organizational culture expert in the world. And I think all companies are figuring out now that company culture matters when it comes to the bottom line. Welcome, Adrian and Chester. Beyond excited to have you here.
Well, thanks,
Yeah,
Jared.
Delighted to be here. Absolutely.
So it seems to me that I always, you know, every decision that we make, every investment that we make, we always want to know what the risk and the reward is. Gratitude seems to be like the most negligible, non-existent risk and the most incredible upside. It's the ultimate. Is quadrifecta a word?
Quadrifecta? I don't know. I'd have to challenge that on the Scrabble board.
But this impacts your
about
health.
140 points though in Scrabble.
Yeah, quadrifecta. Yes, you're right. It does impact so many different parts of your life, you know, emotionally and I think spiritually, building relationships. You know, studies have shown that when you start and end your day in a state of gratitude, you sleep better, you sleep deeper. And so, yes, we found after, you know, Adrian and I have been writing together now for 23 years, maybe this is 24 now that we're in 24. And the common thread that we found in all great cultures, leaders, and teams was that common thread of gratitude. Adrian, what would you add to that? You know, grateful for you, by the way,
yeah,
Adrian.
We're grateful,
just wanted to say that up front.
Dr. Terry, to have us on. And we're thrilled that with your work that you do that we can come in and add. And when we wrote the book, Leading with Gratitude, we were actually having a conversation with our mentor, Marshall Goldsmith, who wrote many books, including What Got You Here, Won't Get You There, et cetera. And Marshall said, you know, I've coached executives for 30 years now. And he says, isn't it interesting that the higher we go in the organization, the more we forget that we need to be grateful? And so that's where this book, really the genesis of it was, is that this is something that the busier we get, the more we forget. The more important we are, the less do we realize that most of us are driven by a need to be appreciated.
You have an amazing opener from Marshall in the beginning where he talks about having flown over 11 million frequent flyer miles. But he always keeps in his mind a memory that he has when he was helping out with, I believe it was the Red Cross in Africa. And they were measuring the children's arms to determine who they had food for that day. And it couldn't be an arm that was too thick because that child didn't need to eat. And it couldn't be too thin because that child wasn't going to make it. I mean, that's an absolutely brutal example of what a lot of people on the planet live through. And to not be grateful for what all that we have is really a shortcoming on our part.
Yeah, he's got that photo, you know, that we used. And he said, I wanted that photo to remind my future self of how blessed I really am and how fortunate I am. And to remember that there are so many people that aren't. And it's a story that he tells often, actually, about let's remember, you know, no matter where we are and what we're going through, there are a lot of people that don't have nearly enough. And aren't we lucky and shouldn't we be grateful? So, yeah, we love the entry, the opening to the book with that story as well.
And you break down exactly the benefits that occur with gratitude. People are 25% happier and more energetic just by keeping a gratitude journal. They've got 20% less envy and resentment. They're sleeping 10% longer each night and wake up 15% more refreshed. They tend to exercise 33% more. I mean, just by keeping a gratitude journal, they have a 10% drop in blood pressure compared to people not keeping these journals. Again, it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
And not only does it benefit you, it benefits the person that you're bestowing the gratitude on. I mean, I'm sure we've all had examples, if you do practice gratitude, of somebody coming back years later. I knew somebody who was dying of a brain tumor. He's one of my students. He was one of my star students, actually. He went off and became the first acupuncturist at one of the leading hospitals in America. And he was dying of a brain tumor in the last months of his life. And he said to me, "Tara, you always made me feel, you know, like I mattered and like I was special and I was important." And hearing that from somebody in the last phases of their life, it just explodes your heart. So it, you know, being nice to somebody along the way can not only transform their life, but it transforms your life.
It does. It's amazing. What you're describing is the ripple effect, is that, you know, we drop a pebble in the pond and you never know how far it goes. And obviously yours was a big pebble. It made a big ripple for him and his life. And we do remember our teachers, our coaches. We also remember those bosses that made an impact on us. And as you're saying, as we express that on a regular basis, unfortunately, we all get so busy, we tend to forget. But when we do, it releases, you know, it reduces the stress hormones in our body and releases endorphins where we get that high. And so if you've ever been through therapy, if you're with a good therapist, they will reach a point where we have to turn to gratitude because, you know, our brains can't hold two thoughts at the exact same moment. They can't hold anxiety and gratitude. Now, very quickly, they can be replaced. So that's why we have to keep doing this because, it's not something we can just do once and say, "Great, I've done my gratitude." It has to become a practice.
Yeah. And I just want to interject that, you know, we're both big fans of tokens and rituals. And the ritual of a gratitude journal is one that's very positive. And to your point, doesn't take a lot of time. Now you say it doesn't cost anything, and I thought it was a perfect lead into actually for $22.95 you can actually buy our gratitude. Just kidding, although it is available on Amazon. Along with Leading with Gratitude. Yeah. To your point though, the cost is minimal, right? I mean, you can grab a blank notebook and start writing. We are big fans of starting and ending the day in a state of gratitude, right? Three things that you're grateful for when you wake up, three things you're grateful for at the end of the day. My wife and I have a lovely ritual at the end of the day. We simply say, "What are your three?" And we share three things we're grateful for. And it's often more than that, although there are days where you struggle to find three, right? You're having a tough day. And those are good conversations as well. I have a personal ritual that I carry a little gratitude stone in my pocket everywhere I go. And the weight of the stone just reminds me, and I'll often gift them to people, you know, the crossing guard or the police officer. I remember gifting two gratitude stones to our trash collectors, and you'd think I'd given them Fabergé eggs. You know, it's like, "Oh man, whatever. Thanks to the trash collector." You know, the only time we talk about the trash collector is when they don't show up, right? And so those lovely moments, reemphasizing your point, that when you give that gratitude and you express that gratitude, not only does it enhance the person that you're expressing it to, it fills your bucket. And I love that you pointed that out, that it costs next to nothing, and yet there's a dual benefit, you know, in the exercise.
Hey guys, studies are showing that 68% of people that watch podcasts regularly don't click the subscribe button. Do me a huge favor. If you like this content, click subscribe so other people know where to go for the cool stuff. Thank you. And it goes really across the board to anybody. You tell this great story. You know, we often overlook employees or people who are helping us, like the trash collector that just, you know, seem like, well, they just need to do their job because, you know, anybody can do it and it's no big deal. But in it, you talk about this woman who was doing like the glass on a, you know, she worked in some kind of mill where they made the glass that goes into the streetlights. And the boss took the time to say to her, look, you know, he made her feel special, let her know that, you know, this job done properly can save lives. And literally it takes him, what, 2, 3, 4 minutes of his life to say this to him. He gets the employee retention because what's the likelihood that that person's ever going to quit and go get another job because they feel seen and accepted? And then years later, you know, she's still telling the story to other people. And if it's other employees, then they're going to go, oh, wow, this company actually cares. And you talk about in the book how, you know, employee turnover, you know, is responsible for what, $11 billion of lost revenue. And it's, again, we're back to no brainer.
Yeah.
You know, how much, and then it's a win-win situation because by the cost, if there is one, is increased awareness. And who doesn't really want to be more aware of what's going on around them? It's like your dashboard in your car, you know, or the windshield, you know, if that's not clear as you're going from point A to point B, you don't get there safely. So by investing the time and energy to be aware of other people, to congratulate them on what they're doing, then your windshield just gets clearer and you have better guidance through life. And that's in the workplace and at home.
And I love how you're talking about this is, you know, the windshield is feedback. It's in your rearview mirrors when you're driving, et cetera. Now, how would you be able to drive without, you know, rearview mirrors, without feedback mechanism like your windshield, et cetera? And so I love that you're making that analogy because you're right. For many people, especially younger people, recognition, gratitude is there, lets them know we're on the right path because that's how they've grown up. They've grown up in a world where things were reinforced, they were doing well. You played that well in the school band, Jimmy, great. Sarah, you did really well on that math test, you got a 90. That's feedback. And then we get to the work world and nobody tells us anything. And so what this manager did, and we get this story from, she's now a professor at INSEAD in France, so she's a brilliant woman, and she started out needing to make some money for her first few years before we went to school, working in a factory, and within a few months figured out all the jobs she needed to do. And the boss was observant. That's part of gratitude, is that you see what's going on. And he saw, she's bored. Let me put her on a more complex machine. And as he put her on the machine, he says, now, this is really important. This if we do this right, this will save lives. We have to get it right, though. And so she felt, important. Eddie says, I trust you with this because I see that you're smart, you do a good job. And isn't that amazing how we feel valued? That's that feedback that you talked about, Tara, that is really powerful.
Yeah, and you'll notice too, Tara, the way we divided up the book was seeing and expressing. You know, Adrian did a brilliant job there about how important it is to be seen. And then the follow-up is the expressing, you know, seeing gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and then not giving it, you know? And so that idea of expressing it, and you'll notice in Adrian's story, the way he expressed it, you know, tying it to the mission and vision of the company, keeping people safe and quality production and so on, it all comes together. And to your point, very quickly, you know, 2-3 minutes tops to do something like that. And yet that story stuck with her for, you know, years and years and years.
And when somebody feels acknowledged, and again, the book points out beautifully that it has to be, you know, timely and appropriate for the situation. And you point out a lot of blunders that people make in the book, which is also hilarious, number one. Number two, it's like, and we don't realize the blunders that we, I mean, God knows I've made plenty of blunders in my life. And that feedback mechanism is just so precious to start to, again, have those dials in the car and that windshield be clearer, like, oh, this is how I'm being perceived in the world. You talk about brains and the part of the brain that's responsible for recognizing these things and how we're not all created the same. But as we all know that are in this change world, neuroplasticity is a beautiful thing, meaning the brain can actually change. They didn't used to think that was the case, but now they absolutely understand that. So can you talk a little bit about the brain and how it responds with gratitude and the portions of the brain? I love that it, you know, boosts oxytocin and dopamine, which are two of the most desirable. They're the best drugs on the planet.
Yeah. Well, you know, this idea of plasticity is so important. I mean, one of the studies that we followed, and actually researchers studied London taxi drivers versus London bus drivers and their brains and how they worked, and did scans of their brains and found there was a lot more activity in taxi drivers than bus drivers, because bus drivers follow the same route every day. And there's not a lot of creativity in there, where taxi drivers have to figure their way through. And they found that, yeah, their brains, while they start the jobs at the same point, they have to expand their brains. So your point is valid, that we can all learn. We can all expand our thinking. And this is one of those skills with gratitude that may not come naturally to a lot of people. I was born in England and raised there till I was 10, you know, and not to put all of us English... Not to put all of us English the same way, but, you know, you might score 3 goals in the soccer game and they say, no, it's all right. You know, you're a forward. You're supposed to score, you know, and that was the environment that I grew up in. So it was very different to come. And when I became a vice president of a bank, you know, in my 30s, I was running a little team and met, you know, 8-9 people. And one of our employees who'd been there 30 years did something pretty good. And one of my other employees, she said, you need to recognize Pat. And I went, why? You know, she did her job. Yeah, but she stretched. She did this new thing. And so finally, since I wasn't getting it, Jenny brought me in a little cup with all wrapped up with some things in there, candy and things. And she says, give her this, present her this. And I said, all right. So staff meeting comes around and I said, hey, Pat, just want to thank you for redoing our newsletter and getting all those contributors. Da, da, da. It's looking really great. So I'm talking for a minute or two, and I notice she's got tears streaming down her face. And Pat said, after the meeting, she goes, Adrian, she says, in 30 years at the bank, she says, that's the first time anybody has ever publicly thanked me. And this clueless, you know, hard charging, you know, new VP was going to, no. And he didn't realize it was about people. And it was about expanding my brain as well. And I had another employee who helped me do that.
Yeah. And language does matter, you know, the way you say it. And we talk about that in the book, you know, make sure you're specific, you're timely, you know, that it's heartfelt and so on. I remember I had a really interesting job to put myself through college. I sold books door to door. And it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, you know, and you'd meet all these interesting people. They actually had a really wonderful training program with this company, Southwestern Books. And they talked about language matters. They said, you know, there's ways to say things and it means the same thing. The way that you say it, though, has greater impact. And the example he used, he said, you know, how many of you, we were all young college students, you know, how many of you are in love? And, you know, we all raised our hands. Let me give you an example of how language matters. He says, you know, you may look into your girlfriend's eyes and say, honey, when I look into your eyes, time stands still. Isn't that lovely? He says, another way to say that is, honey, your face could stop a clock. You know, that's so, you know, as Adrian said to me, he got a little bit of coaching, you know, to make that moment, you know, really effective. And that's what we were hoping in the book, is say you, all the research and the statistics and whatnot, it's there. Now, how do you do it that makes sense? You know, are you really expressing that gratitude, or you're inadvertently insulting people, which happens all the time, right? Leaders that will have a gratitude moment tied to a performance review. You know, hey, we've got this award for Adrian for his 15 years in the company. No, by the way, Adrian, make sure you don't miss the deadline on that report for me later today. Well, you've ruined the moment. You've stopped the clock, you know, in a bad way.
So your book is loaded with all kinds of tips and trips and tricks and faux pas that people make. So there's pitfalls to avoid. And Adrian, I love that you shared that personal story, because you're right, the British do have a a persona as being a little bit on the cool side. So the fact that, you know, this person made this wonderful platform for you to shift. And then how did you proceed after that? Because at that point you had been given an absolute powder keg of power. How did you end up using it in the rest of your work life?
Well, that's a good question.
Other than writing New York Times bestseller.
Right. Yeah. Well,
there was that.
What's interesting is, so soon after that, one of the bankers who ran our business division put in place a recognition program where people would compete for to be recognized, and that they could choose merchandise. And again, my cynical side said, oh, come on. You know, these are people making good money. They're motivated by compensation. I have never seen people work that hard to win a tent or a TV or whatever, things that they wanted. And I remember getting something myself. And then pretty soon after that, I got a call from a headhunter that was looking for head of communication for a recognition company. And I went, you know what? I would have said a few years ago, now I know that actually makes a difference. I want to learn more. And I ended up getting hired in that job. And a couple of weeks in, I was going to a big conference, the sales conference, and one of my employees said to me, hey, when you're there, look up this guy named Chester Elton. He'll change your life. And he did.
I love that story. Adrian's told it 100 times, and I hope he tells it another 100 times. It's so affirming for me that it worked out so well. And it is interesting, you know, because, again, the backstory in that is I'd been talking to our CEO about this idea of becoming thought leaders in our industry, and that thought leaders write books. And the definitive book on employee recognition really had not been written yet. And how it would, I was in sales, right? And it was all about how this would make it easier for me to prospect, and people would call me. I wouldn't have to call them. And I thought this was such a great idea. And Kent Murdoch was our CEO's name at the time. And he says, that's a great idea. Write the book. And I went, I don't think that's what I said, boss, that we have this book is what I was. And he said, you're a smart guy. Figure it out. Well, it's one thing to say that. And, you know, and for a while I was playing with ideas and so on. It was another thing. And this is the genius of his leadership. Is about a year later, he called me back and said, I've been thinking about that book. We've hired a writer. Introduce yourself. His name's Adrian Gostick, and write the book. So it was very empowering. Again, that being seen and then expressing it and creating a pathway forward. And we wrote our first book, which was called Managing with Carrots. One of the reasons I wear orange every day and Adrian doesn't. and Kent said, you know, I have this idea that we'll have a whole library of carrot books. And it was so interesting. Adrian and I thought at the time, I think it's kind of amazing that we've got one at this point. And yet he broadened that horizon for us. And we just finished our 15th book together. So that's recognition and empowerment, right?
I'm so glad you're talking about carrots because I know who gets excited about carrots, right? But I mean, for so much of my life, when it felt so stressful, I felt like I was really a stick person where, you know, I was motivated by the fear, motivated by the what if I'm not enough, what motivated, and truly to be motivated by the how great can this be, you know, how great can it be for the person that I'm servicing is just a different way of moving through the world. And it's great for your, again, we talked about the health benefits. The relationship benefits are off the chart. I love that you referenced John Gottman. I love his longitudinal studies that he did with the married couples back in the 70s, where in just 15 minutes of filming them trying to resolve a conflict, he was able to predict with 90% certainty whether or not they'd stay together. Yeah. That's jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
And if any person in any relationship doesn't perk up and go, wait a minute, there's something for me to learn there, can you talk to that?
Yeah, one of the, you know, and Gottman, you know, we've used his work and Julie Gottman's work for years as well. It's really brilliant in relationships and what they did, as you mentioned, in 50 minutes, being able to predict with greater than 90% accuracy whether or not somebody will still be married in a decade is remarable. And what they talk about is, look, you know, you're going to have difficult emotions in your relationship, gratitude is one of those cues or clues that lets you know that a relationship is in a healthy place. When we inevitably come up against conflict, which we will in our relationships, how do we react? Ah, you did that again. You know, is it finger pointing? Is it blame me? Or is it, you know, oh no, boy, you always come up with a solution. Let's keep working. Let's keep finding a way. And being that idea of respectful, they talk about, really labeling our emotions that we're going through. And one of the things that the Gottmans have really taught us is that, we label our gratitude as we talk about. We say, look, this is how we build a strong relationship, is by acknowledging the strengths of each other and building each other. So it's really powerful what they bring in. Jess, what would you add to it?
Yeah, I think the marriage studies, I mean, it's a very powerful metaphor for me. You know, I grew up in a very happy household. My mom and dad were married for 65 years before my father passed away. And my father was the ultimate role model in relationships and gratitude. Everybody was interesting to him. You know, he always wanted to know their story, whether they were, washing his car or captains of industry. The way he treated my mother was such a lesson in relationships. You know, I was very, very lucky to grow up in such a happy home. I have four older brothers. I never heard my father raise his voice to my mother. I'm sure they disagreed and they argued. They never fought. You know, people say, oh, friction is good in a marriage. I go, yeah, disagreement is not. Fighting isn't. No one's ever going to convince me that that's a healthy relationship. And there's one experience that I'd love to share with people. And that we were in church, I think, and my mom came in, and my mother was quite the fashionista. She was always dressed to the nines. And my dad nudged me and he said, look at your mom. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she talented?
Boo.
And then here's the kicker. Aren't we lucky?
Boo.
And you know, when you have that kind of role model and then you take it forward. I mean, my wife and I just celebrated our 40-year anniversary. And I've never raised my voice to my wife. It doesn't ever seem to me to be appropriate. There's not a day goes by that we don't tell each other how much we love and appreciate each other. And that gratitude ritual we have at the end of the day, I think, is just such a lovely reinforcer. Hey, tell me three things you're grateful for. So yes, I think in building positive relationships. Now, I think the higher level is trust. Gratitude breeds trust. So, I never worry that my wife won't be there for me, and she never worries that I won't be there for her. In the workplace, translate into the workplace. When I'm getting credit for my work, right? When my boss sees what I do, recognizes it privately, publicly, or both, my career is safe in her hands, right? How often have we seen in the business world where the leader has taken credit for the team's work, right? What does that do to trust? Do I want to work really hard on the next project knowing that you're going to get all the credit and we will just be seen as the worker bees that supported your brilliance? So, what's really wonderful about our work is, and we've gone from the personal to the business side, is the business also impacts the business side. If you do this well in the workplace, bring it home. And you'll remember the last chapter of the book is take it home. What are your gratitude rituals with your partner, your spouse, your friends, your neighbors, your children?
You tell
it works there too.
You tell this great story that is very revealing about a guy that goes home and practices the gratitude with his kids. And can you tell that story? It's hilarious.
You mean the dinner ritual?
He goes home and he compliments one family member, and then it was a disaster, and then another, and then just tell us that story. It's so funny. Do you remember?
Yeah. No, this is what's his name? Jim Kirkman or what's his? Just help me out.
We'll think of it. Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah.
But he was Dave Kirkman. Dave Kirkman is his name. That's right. Our dear and close friend,
close
Dave Kirkman.
We don't remember his name right now. But he's an advertising executive in New York City. And like a lot of us, he says, look, he told us this story. He says, I read one of your books and I decided to change things up because he says, I realized that I would, I'd go home and, I'd ask the kids, hey, what'd you do at school today? Nothing, or how was your day? Fine, and he wasn't getting anything. And he says, so we decided we implement this this new gratitude ritual around the dinner table. And he says, there's three questions that I would ask. The first question I would ask is, so what was the best part of your day? Tell me something you're grateful for. Well, maybe I caught a football, or, you know, the kids let me play with them at the recess, and then they never had before. Great. Best part of your day. Secondly, who are you grateful for today that is not here at the table? Oh, well, my teacher gave me this, you know, whatever it was. And third, who are you grateful for here at the table who has not been thanked yet? And he said this became a little bit of a ritual. So three questions. What are you grateful for today? Who are you grateful for not at the table? Who are you grateful for at the table? And he says, first off, he says, we started doing this and my kids crazy hated it, he said. And he says, this became, oh, geez, Dad. And he says, within a couple of weeks, they were inviting their friends over. He says, you're going to come do this. It's the best part of our day. he says, it became something that was a lifting up of their day. Instead of just sitting around nothing and grumbling and this and the other, it was all positive. And isn't that interesting, you know, how, yeah, he met with a little resistance, and we will. When we start being more grateful, people may be a little suspicious. People may not think it's like us. They'll get over it because everybody needs to be affirmed, and it's good. Eventually, they'll come around.
That's a good story, and it illustrates a couple of really key things. And I think you also mentioned in the book, I think it was you, Chester, that said somewhere along the line that you know, laying that first plank is difficult. It's like Donald Hebb and Hebb's Law, you know, neurons that fire together, wire together. But, you know, laying that first one is uncomfortable. That's why I work with people that have an 8, 9, or 10 need to change and a desire to change, because you gotta want it. And then when you're willing to make that step and go through the discomfort, you find something so delicious on the other side. And I love that tool that you just shared, Adrian, about the dinner table and sharing those three things. You had also shared this story in the book that, again, I just thought was so hilarious. This guy that went home and tried it, and he was kind of had the same type of kids, you know, because so many parents complain about, you know, you say, how is it going? And they're like, fine, you know, get out of my world. And just, and it's not until you foster that really kind of loving, which we all want and need. We're such social creatures. This is so needed. I mean, we need this like we need air. You know, we're social creatures, and we thrive with feeling supported, and we don't get that without that feedback mechanism. And as you just so beautifully stated, we have to foster that and create that and lead that in our world to get that change. You tell this one story about a guy going home, and he tries out the gratitude thing, you know, and he's like really unsure of himself. And the surprise that he got when he had one disastrous experience being grateful for the daughter, and the daughter's looking at the mom going, what's wrong with dad? Is he on drugs? Then he tries it again with the son. And, you know, he says this whole grateful thing, which was completely out of character. And the son, the mother says, well, what do you think of dad's compliment to you? And he says, I don't know. Was he mad I didn't do the dishes?
That's right. 180. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like anything, right? Practice. You need to be willing to practice. People say, well, it's just not who I am. I say, well, it's not who you are now. Is who you are now where you were 10 years ago? No, we know we all progress. We all change. And so this idea, again, that's why I'm such a big fan of rituals, you know, do it. I love to tell the story of my wife after, you know, we had our fourth child and we figured that was going to be it. And she said, you know, I'm going to start to work out, reclaim my body, I think is the phrase she used. She says, I'm going to start to run. And, I like to be really active. Running is not something that ever appeals to me. If there's a ball and you're keeping score, I'll play all day. Just running until you've tired doesn't interest me in the least. Whoa. I ran a marathon. Good for you. I will never do that. And so it was interesting. She'd get up and she would run. And it was wonderful the way she would get up and the discipline that she had. Now, the trick was, is she was a woman that ran, right? Then she started to get the right shoes and the right nutrition, and she got a running partner. And there was that tipping point where she went from a woman who ran to she was a runner, right? And that's really interesting. So there comes that point, like expressing gratitude and finding family rituals. And yeah, it's difficult and it's messy to begin with. And then there's that point that it's not what you do, it's who you are.
Yes, sir.
And that's where the magic really happens. Yes, yes. And And it only comes with a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of discipline, and lots of practice.
Adrian's laughing. What are you laughing at, Adrian?
And I love that you bring that story, because that's really one of our favorite stories. It was told to us by a guy named Dr. David Jerrington, who is a professor of organizational leadership. And he had this like you say, this guy, and who was really arguing with him. And it was about specificity. And the idea with gratitude is, we think sometimes, you know, it's coming to building on Chester's point here, sometimes we can just say, you know, hey, good job, Tara, good job. You know, okay, why? You know, thanks for everything you do around here. And that's what, yeah. And that's what this professor was having this debate with this guy in one of his classes about. And the guy was saying, look, kids just need to be lifted and told how great they are. And David was saying, actually, that's not true. He says, they need specificity. And he says, let me give you this little experiment. So that's where the dad got sent home with this experiment. And he, you know, with his wife, meets with each of the kids individually, and he makes an expression of just general praise. Hey, Billy, you know, you sure are great. Love everything you do around here. Then he leaves. And as you say, you know, mom says, gee, Billy, what do you think dad meant by that? And he goes, you know, I think he's mad because I don't do the dishes the way he wants. And the 12-year-old says, you know, I think he's mad at me. It was 180, you know, everybody was getting it wrong. And then finally the 16-year-old, where, you know, this dad says, hey, you just want to let you know, I appreciate every little thing you do around here. And he's thinking, maybe if I'm more sincere. So he's oozing sincerity. I just want to let you know, I appreciate everything you do around. You know, he's doing his William Shatner. And he leaves, and the mom says, hey, you know, Susan, what do you think dad meant by that? She goes, I don't know, mom. She says, sometimes I don't think dad's got a clue what's going on around here, you know. And it was, and so all the sincerity in the world won't make up for if you don't know why you're recognizing somebody. You know, when Chester's thanking his maintenance people, it's, you know, thank you for your diligence. You're picking all the garbage up. You are so careful. You are so kind. You're always here on time. You know, it's that specificity lets us know that somebody's actually watching. Somebody's paying attention to the value that we bring to the world. That's what makes it special.
I'm so appreciative for all the research that you have in here, all the payoffs that there are with gratitude. I want to just hold up your book again here. This is
it's thank you.
Loaded with tips and tricks to implement this in your own life. There's a ton of research. Can you guys just in the last few minutes sum up just the gains that come from this? Because companies all over the world are understanding this, that losing people because you don't recognize them, that you don't just give them an attaboy. I mean, it's true in our home lives. It's true in our work lives. Can you just sum up the value of what this, I mean, obviously, if you're in 30 languages and 150 million, I'm sorry, 1.5 million copies.
150 million would be better. Yeah.
That's more. Yeah,
there's more copies of this book than there are stars in the universe.
Yeah.
Well, let me start. I'll start with the head, because Chester will bring in the heart. So, you know, there are, I mean, and the reason we get asked to speak to organizations on this, and because everybody knows we need to do this better. On any engagement survey, recognition, gratitude is always the lowest scoring item because, again, we get busy. We don't know how to do it. We don't know recognize what for what. So the organizations that get this better, it's all in the book. They have higher engagement scores. They have higher employee satisfaction levels, higher customer satisfaction levels because employees are happier. And all the things we're looking for, lower employee turnover. It's just a no-brainer to do this. The question is how you do this. And that's where we've provided this roadmap. Just now give us some hope.
Yeah. Thank you, Adrian. And you know, it's just the right thing to do. You know, and isn't it nice to know that nice guys can finish first? You know, we looked at and we interviewed some wonderful leaders, you know, Ken Chenault and, Indra Nooyi. Ken Chenault was at American Express. Indra Nooyi, you know, the past president of Pepsi. And these were really demanding leaders. They got extraordinary results. You know, Alan Mulally, the guy that saved the Ford Motor Company, and on and on. So I want your listeners, as we wrap up, to say, yeah, those are those soft skills, those gooey skills that are nice to have. not necessarily must-haves. That's not the case anymore, particularly with the generations that are coming into the workplace that want that affirmation, that want to know that what they're doing is making a difference. They can connect the dots, that they believe what they do matters, they make a difference. And when they make a difference, it's noticed and celebrated. That's the formula for not just great cultures, productive cultures, you know, above the norm cultures. I often joke, I said, look, if you do this, will it make your mama proud? Absolutely. It's also really good business acumen. I'd like the dialogue and the wording to go from soft skills to power skills.
Oh, I like
that. These are power skills. And you look back at the leaders that you really wanted to perform for, that you never wanted to let down. They were leaders that also cared about you, that built you up, that promoted you, that made sure that they celebrated your successes. And, you know, last year, a really dear friend of mine passed away unexpectedly. And we were all at the funeral. And I loved the remarks as people spoke about him. Yes, he was a very successful businessman. Yes, he'd done very well. He was super smart. What people remembered is that he was a teacher, that he was a mentor, that he was a coach. And so I would just say to the leaders that are listening to the podcast, if you want to be remembered and have influence, teach and care about people. And when people know that you care and you teach and you push them, you'll be remembered. You'll have influence. And who doesn't want to have that in their lives? Back to your win-win. When you give it, it's a win for the person that receives it, and it's a win for the person that gives it.
So
I'm sold.
See, it's like quadrifecta that I mentioned in the beginning. It's good for your health. It's good for your relationships. It's good for your income. And it's just much more fun.
It is. It just makes for a better and less stressful workplace. You know, our follow-up book to Leading with Gratitude is Anxiety at Work. 8 strategies on how to deal with anxiety. And the 8th strategy is gratitude. You know, what are your gratitude rituals? And then since you were so kind to plug our book, we do have our new gratitude journal, the Gratitude Habit, 90 Days to a More Grateful Life. Go to our website, thecultureworks.com. You can click all over and we love that practice as well. So we've got all the stats and stuff in the business place. And then personally, you know, keep that gratitude journal. It's I've been doing them for years and have seen the benefits, and I hope you'll experience it as well.
And again, in a studies at the UC Davis School with more than 2,000 people, you'll be 25% happier and more energetic, 20% less envy and resentment. You'll sleep 10% longer and wake up 15% more refreshed, exercise 33% more, and have a 10% drop in blood pressure. How good does it get? And it's free.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything.
So where else would you like people to reach out to you, follow you? Where are the cool places for people
thanks.
To with you?
Oh, thanks, Tara, for asking. We're at theCultureWorks.com. You can find everything about us. We also have an Anxiety at Work podcast, and you can pick up our books anywhere fine books are sold.
Yeah, follow us on LinkedIn as well. We've got a wonderful newsletter, the Gratitude Journal, that we publish twice a month. And let me give you Adrian's cell phone number. It's 4. Text him, call him any time of day or night. He'll always answer.
Oh, gosh. Thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate you guys. And folks, if you got value from this, please click subscribe. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Next Level Healing. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Next Level Healing. Please like, subscribe, and let us know how this helped you. How can it be even more life-changing? We love hearing from you. And if you're eager to upgrade your life, click the button here or go to consulttara.com and get your free customized GPS map. Get the coordinates for where you are now and where you want to go. Clients consistently report it's faster and easier than they thought possible. Remember, you were meant for more, and it is available to you. See you right here next week for our next episode.